let's move on into our preaching time. Amen. Let's pray over the preaching moment briefly. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, bless the preaching moment. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, get your Bibles in your hands. Repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, would you make some noise? If you're online, go ahead and make some noise where you are. We believe you're going to be fed. All right. So we have been in an S series. I can't think of a better name for a series. I'll probably come up with it later after we're done. But we've been in the S series. And so let's just recap a little bit. The first sermon in the S series was Surrounded. And we talked about how it looks like we're surrounded by trouble, but we're actually surrounded by God. And we shared all of the things that prove to us through the scripture that we are surrounded. We can have faith in that. And then it led us into Palm Sunday. And then we went into the title Substituted. And we talked about how Jesus substituted places with us. He was the substitute for us. And that's one of the reasons why we're able to cry Hosanna to the King. And then on last week, Resurrection Sunday, we talked about survived. We talked about how Jesus survived everything, including betrayal, insults, the cross, and ultimately the grave. And that's why we get so excited on Resurrection Sunday, because he outlasted the grave. And because of that, we too can outlast the grave. And even David was able to say it. He said, if I make my bed in hell, you'd find me there. So that leads us up to today's sermon. And today's sermon is surrendered. Surrendered. And so if you're paying attention, all of these words start with S-U. And so we are right now, I don't know if we're going to end it yet, but today we're in surrender. Before we define it, I'm going to give you two reasons to surrender. Two reasons to surrender, just so that you are aware and understand. There, once again, I say this in Bible study all the time. There's several reasons, but I'm just giving people two because I can't preach to you all day long. Now, football season is no longer in session, so I got a little more time. I can talk a little longer. Just joking, but so hopefully these things trigger you when I say two reasons and you go back and study, you find multiple things. But here's two reasons to surrender. First of all, we're going to give you a definition of surrender, and then I'll show you what the two are, and it'll make sense. So surrender means to cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. Stop bucking the system and just surrender to the authority, even if it happens to be an enemy. And in many cases, when people are surrendering, they're surrendering to an enemy. So let's give us number one reason for surrender. And it says this, surrender keeps you from making enemies of those you need. So when you surrender, sometimes the enemy doesn't really want to be an enemy, but you keep bucking the system, and so I've got to be an enemy to you. So surrender helps you not make enemies out of people that you need. Let me give you an example. Growing up, my mother would sometimes say things like, watch out, boy. All right, now, what she was doing, she didn't want to be an enemy. In other words, she didn't want to get the belt. She didn't want to throw the shoe. She didn't want to grab the broom, and those are all things that I got hit with. But she was giving me forewarning. Don't make me an enemy. I done had a long day. I'm not here for your mess. But if I don't surrender, and I learned a little bit later that you got to surrender, because you're gonna make the wrong person mad at the wrong time. So surrender helps you to not make enemies of people that you need. So let's give us scripture that will help us understand this, because we just think about what we talked about last week and what we dealt with the last week, the resurrection. So now let's look at Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Read all three of those verses.
For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come.
They've tasted all of that. Yes. Verse 6.
And then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame.
In the resurrection, we talk about how the cross was not a loss and how he survived the cross and then went to the grave and survived the grave. But this scripture tells us that when we don't surrender after tasting all that, we crucify him again. We take everything that he's done for us, and effectively we put him back on the cross. And here's the problem. When you put him back on the cross, the first time he went to the cross, he went voluntarily. And his father was along with it because it was volunteer. But when you stop surrendering to the Lord after all that he's done for you, it's like you're putting him on the cross again. And when you put him on the cross again and crucify him to an open shame, you make his daddy mad. And when you make his daddy mad, you make an enemy out of somebody you don't want to make an enemy out of. So because we have tasted of the Lord, it would behoove us to straighten up and fly right. It would behoove us to do the best that we can to honor what he has done for us. This is not the season to be willy-nilly with our life and do anything we want to do. Well, I'm saved. No, you saved, but you don't want to make a fool out of your God and out of your Savior. So if there are boundaries you need to walk within those boundaries. If there's things you don't need to do, don't be doing those things. If there's places you don't need to go, don't be going those places. It doesn't make you a goody two-shoes. It just makes you smart. I can't afford to make an enemy out of somebody that I need. So guess what it does? It's going to require me some days and sometimes to just surrender. I surrender. Remember that song? Sometimes we just need to surrender. Another thing my mama used to tell me, boy, you smelling yourself. I didn't even know what that meant, Sister Trish. But all I know is after that, there was going to be some trouble. And let me tell you, some of y'all Christians, sometimes you smelling yourself and you need to back up and surrender. How Paul became one of the great apostles, it's finally he realized, the Bible says, you're kicking against the prince. You're going against the purpose of God. And as long as you keep going against the purpose of God and you don't bow down, and here's what you got to understand, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So you better straighten up right now while you can, so God doesn't have to bring you to your knees. In other words, we want to surrender voluntarily. So here's number two. It's another reason. So last week we talked about survival. So surrender equals survival. And here's a name that some of you may not recognize. It's Flavius Josephus. Josephus is a very famous historian in Jewish times, but he lived around the time of Jesus, and he lived after Jesus had died and rose from the grave. And when the Bible talks about the trouble that was coming, in that time, is talking about how Rome was going to actually crush Jerusalem. And in 67, the year 67 AD, this actually happened. Rome was taking over. Actually, 70 AD, Jerusalem and Israel was no longer land because Rome took over. So Josephus was a general. He was a political officer, and at some point, he saw the writing on the wall, And he decided, ain't no need in us fighting Rome no more. We about to lose. So he told the people we should surrender. They're like, no, you don't want to surrender and be a slave to them. I'd rather die than surrender to them. And Josephus just counted up the cost. And he's like, I think it makes sense to surrender. So he surrendered to Rome and he became a prisoner. But before he became a prisoner, he had this dream that the person who actually captured him, his name was Vespasian, was going to become an emperor. So he just offhandedly said it, by the way, I believe you're going to become the next emperor. Well, 2 years after he was captured, this man, Vespasian, actually becomes the emperor. And he remembers Josephus and like, hey, you told me this a long time ago. By the way, let's get this dude out of prison. It's kind of very similar to Joseph, the story of Joseph, how Joseph came out of prison. Well, he ended up being elevated and he ended up going and living a great life. And he ended up becoming a historian. He ended up becoming good because he saw the writing on the wall. We about to lose. In other words, let me put it in our context. I'm going the wrong way. I'm just going to go ahead and surrender. Well, no, it looks like that's the wrong way. No, but it looks like that they're going to win. So I'm surrendering. So Josephus surrendered, but his surrender led to his survival. And now many of the historians who look through history and have learned about Jewish history, it came from Josephus. But had he fought to the death, we would not have all that information. So surrender can lead to your survival. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just surrender. All right, so let's go move forward. Just give you, I'm going to give you a lot of stories today. So let's put this up here. Three hindrances to true surrender. So I kind of give you reasons why you need to surrender. Many of you understand it. So let's talk about what hinders our surrendering. So let's put it this way. Everybody watching and everybody listening, you already are with me. Yeah, there are times I'm going to need to surrender. I accept that. But then what keeps us from surrendering when we know we're supposed to surrender? Let's put it to you like this. When I know my mama's about to get mad, what made me just push the buttons a little more? What is it about me? What is it about life that'll make you do a little extra when you don't need to do a little extra? So let's go ahead and start with number one. Let's put this up here for us. When I'm stubborn, whenever I'm stubborn, it makes it a lot harder to surrender. So I want to give us a story. So I call this the pants story. And this pants story is centered around somebody who's in the audience today. I didn't know they were going to be in the audience today, but they're here. Go ahead and put it up. It centers around Sister Kelly. So let me tell you a little bit about the pants story. So I have this credit card that gives me a $50 credit to Saks Fifth Avenue. If you know Saks Fifth Avenue, ain't nothing cheap there. So I got $50 free, and I try to get it down to the shipping. I don't want to pay nothing. So I got these camouflage polo pants, and it just so happened they came, and I took them on one of our family trips, and I wore them, I believe, to Dolly World when we were in Gatlinburg. And then my mom says, Kelly said that y'all was rushing so much that you wore pajama pants to the amusement park. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't wear pajama pants to the amusement park. I got these from Saks Fifth Avenue. Well, later on, I was thinking about it. I was like, why did Kelly say I wore pajama pants? So I looked up on the site. I looked up on the polo site, and they had identical looking pants. One pants were pajamas, and one pants were actually pants. I was like, Kelly don't know what she's talking about. And it's very hard to tell the difference because the pajama pants didn't have pockets and the other pants did have pockets. And I'm like, I got the one that got pockets and it's in the pants section. I love my sister, but she don't know what she's talking about. And so I had a sense, because I'm a little petty, to screenshot it and just shoot her a text to say, hey, these actually were pants. But I was like, ain't no need to be being petty. I'm so glad I wasn't. Because a couple weeks after that, I go to grab the pants and put them on, and inside the tag it says sleepwear. Right on the inside of the tag. Now, what I could do is, I could be stubborn and tell you, Kelly don't know what she's talking about, but guess what? Kelly knew exactly what she was talking about. Now, it was true that it was in the pants section. It was not in the pajama section. It was true. But at the end of the day, all I got to do is just surrender. She was right, and I was wrong. It's not that I did it on purpose. Here's the problem for a lot of us. Because we didn't do it on purpose, we feel a need to fight. But sometimes you just got to acquiesce and say, guess what? So-and-so was right. You just have to surrender. You can't be stubborn. Now, let me add this. Because they were $50, I still wear them outside. Because they're too expensive for me to just be sleeping in them only. But it tickled me when I seen it, because I'm one of those people, if you know me, I like to be right. I may not always share it, but I like to be right. I don't like to be wrong. So sometimes when you're wrong, it hurts your pride. And guess what? For a lot of us, it's okay for your pride to be hurt sometimes. You're not always going to be right. Things are not always going to go your way. And sometimes it's good for you to just bow down. Now, guess what I didn't do? I didn't call Kelly and tell her this story. I never told her she was right until now. She probably already knew. But here's the thing. I was so glad I didn't be petty and pick with her, because I was wrong the whole time. Now, let's flip it into the godliness. How many times are you wrong the whole time and you don't want to listen? Sometimes you just got to bow down and realize I'm wrong. Everything you think is not right. Well, I read it on the internet. I know you read it on the internet, but you're still wrong. And so sometimes you have to just surrender. And it's not just the matter of fact that sometimes you can be wrong, because we all understand that. But having the mindset that if I run up against myself, in other words, if God shows me myself, I'm willing to just be like, okay, all right, God, this is it. Now, sometimes... Sometimes they don't always feel good. I was telling Draylen something just earlier today. We were talking, and he was telling me about how cold it is in the building. And I was like, well, the air is on. It hasn't kicked on yet, but the heat's not on. And so then later on, he said it again, how cold it was. And I was like, Draylen, you already said it. He said, well, I just wanted to complain. And so we giggled. But then I told him, I said, my father told me that today. I said, my heavenly father, because I started off praying and I said something and God said, there you go complaining. So what am I going to do? Well, I got a right to complain, blah, 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 this, that, this. Let me tell you what I was complaining about. I got a bunch of calls about people who were not going to be able to make it today. So I'm like, here we're going to have a packed house on Sunday. And then I'm going to come in and there's going to be a few people. And then some of the people who let me know, I'm glad they let me know. But that meant I was going to have to come early and I was going to have to set up and do a bunch of stuff. And I just kind of started complaining. God, I wish I don't have to. God, I wish. God. And God was like, there you go complaining. He's like, he didn't take me through a long thing. But he just shared me. There are a lot of churches who closed. There are a lot of churches that only have 3, 4, 5 people every Sunday, and you complaining because 6 or 7 say they couldn't make it. Shut up and get ready and go to church and do what I called you to do. Okay, God. Guess what I had to do? I got to surrender because he's right. Yeah. Here's the problem with some of us, even when it's God, we act like God is the one that's wrong. If anybody's going to be right, it's going to be God. So guess what? When he told me to shut up, I shut up. He didn't actually tell me to shut up, but the way he showed me let me know I need to shut up. Sometimes you just need to shut up and surrender. It's good when it's like this, but as we're going into these next verses, it gets a lot of worse when you're really, really stubborn. Here's the thing the point I'm making. Don't make God have to break you down for you to learn a lesson. God is kind. He's loving. He'll take his time to get us. And God wasn't really harsh with me even this morning, but he's really kind. But don't make him show himself. Don't make him become your enemy. Don't make him be, because listen, when God withdraws his hand of protection, and when God withdraws, see, here's the thing. You could be talking right now and 10 seconds later be paralyzed from the head to the toe. You don't play with God in this season. Just surrender. You're right. I'm wrong. But then take it into human. Sometimes in the human case, you're just wrong. Let's read Psalms 11, 81. I mean, Psalms 81, 11 through 14.
But no, my people wouldn't listen. Israel did not want me around.
Sometimes we don't even want God talking to us. I come to church, but if they don't tell me something that makes me happy and run around the church and they start telling me stuff that step on my toes, I ain't going back. You ain't getting mad at the church. You're getting mad at God. All right, keep on reading.
So I let them follow their own stubborn desires, living according to their own ideas.
Sometimes the worst thing God can do is let you have what you want. Read.
Oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would follow me, walking in my path.
Okay.
How quickly I would then subdue their enemies. How soon my hands would be upon their foes.
We need God to fight our enemies, but instead we're making God our enemy. Let's go to Proverbs 29 and 1.
If you get more stubborn every time you are corrected, one day you will be crushed and never recover.
This is what the Bible says from the Good News Translation. If every time you get corrected, you get more stubborn, there's going to come time where God ain't going to say nothing. Let me put it in just regular terms, just humans. If I keep telling you the same thing over and over and you don't listen, I get tired of talking.
All right.
Well, forget it and forget you. You can't afford God to say forget it and forget you. So, in other words, when you get corrected, don't be stubborn. Just surrender. All right. Let's go to Revelations 2.
But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols.
This is a time where they had gotten way out of control. Verse 21.
I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality.
You have to understand this about God. God is so loving and kind, he always gives space to repent. He always gives space for you to surrender. In this case, they had gotten really wild, and he still was like, I'm giving you time. But they took the time and said, forget you, God. I'm doing it my way. And they're doing it from the church. This woman is teaching all kinds of crazy stuff. They're believing it, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and God was fed up. It's an old song that says, when a woman is fed up, well, forget a woman when God is fed up. All right, let's look at verse 22.
Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds.
All right, don't let that be none of us who are tuning in, watching, and sitting right here. God, I don't want you to have to throw me on a bed of suffering when all I had to do was surrender. All I had to do was surrender and repent. And here's the great thing about God. When you repent, he will help you repent. In other words, when you repent, he will help you do whatever you're repenting from. So stop fighting God and just say, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way. You're going to have to help me do it your way, but I'd rather do it your way than to be without you and to be thrown on a bed of suffering. This is what David said, or actually it wasn't David, it was someone else, but it's in the Psalms. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper than the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. In other words, I would rather be in the house of God struggling than be in a mansion thinking I'm doing good. And then you have to turn and turn the lights off on me. And everything, I think I'm having a great time. And now my life is crashing and burning. And I can't find you nowhere, God. I would rather surrender now while I have a chance. Because I can't afford to make an enemy out of a God that I need. All right. And so that leads us to number two. When I'm stupid, when I'm stubborn, it makes it hard to surrender. And the longer I stay stubborn, I just start acting stupid. And when you're stupid, it makes it harder to surrender. When you are stupid, you make things much harder for yourself. So let's go into another story. So we had a story centered around Kelly. This is not centered around Kelly. This is centered totally around me. This is called the punishment story. And this is centered around my second grade teacher, Mrs. Brown. So Mrs. Brown was not the easiest teacher. She was kind of strict. She was known for throwing erasers at you and chalk at you. See, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so people acted a little different than they do now. And everybody wasn't as soft as they are now. So I would get in trouble because I was talkative. I would move around. And I was too dumb to realize I'm the only black kid in the class. It was easy for me to be picked out of a crowd when I'm cutting up. So I did something. I can't remember what I did. I did something, and I got paddled for it. Back in the day where they could spank you at school with the permission of your parents. So I got 3 wooden whacks on my bottom. Well, here's the problem. They sent you home with a letter that you had to sign, get signed by your parents to tell that you got whooped at school. But I was afraid to tell mama and daddy that I got whooped at school because I was afraid what they was going to do at home. So with my second grade pea brain mind, I decided, I saw my dad's signature on some mail. I decided I was going to trace it. I traced it about 100 times to get it down right. And I was going to forge his signature and take it to school. Now, here's the thing. I already had bad penmanship to begin with. So I wasn't fooling nobody. But with my happy little self, I brought my little paper and turned it in to Mrs. Brown. And she didn't do anything, and she didn't say anything, and I thought I was good. And she came to me at recess. She said, Andre, I want to talk to you. I kind of knew what she wanted to talk to me about, but I'm already here, Brother Jason. I'm already in it. And so she comes to me, and she said, I got a question for you. Did your dad sign the paperwork? I said, yes, he did. She looked at me again. She said, Andre, did your dad sign the paperwork? Yes, he did. The third thing she said, this is the kind of stupidity that gets you in trouble. And she walked off. It wasn't a good sign. Now, this is second grade. I still remember in vivid detail. I remember that what she said because she said, this is the kind of stupidity that gets you in trouble. In other words, what she was saying to me, some of the stuff you get yourself in can be avoided. So guess what they had to do? Now, because I went to a Christian school, I got paddled again for lying. But before I got paddled a second time for lying, my parents were called, and my daddy was livid. And my daddy said, I don't raise no liars in my house. And my daddy didn't whoop me, didn't paddle me. He beat my second grade behind and told me, you don't go to school lying on me. You don't go forging my finger. Okay. But all I could think of, it was my stupidity that got me in trouble. I end up getting 3 spankings out of 1. Just being stupid. Now here's the thing. I was in second grade. I was young and dumb. Let me ask you, how many times are you still getting spanked because you stubborn and stupid? Let me let that sink in again. How many things have gone wrong in your life? I want you to hear what Mrs. Brown said to me. This is the kind of stupidity that gets you in trouble. How many times have you refused to surrender just doing things your own way? I can fix it. I can work it. I can do this. You know what you need to do. See, when you're young, you don't always know. Your brain is not fully formed. You don't always get it. Even my 2 nieces, they're growing up so fast, but their brains aren't fully formed all the way. They think they're smart, but they don't quite know everything just yet. But some of us, we grown. Our minds are fully formed. So the only reason why we're dealing with some of the stuff we're dealing with is because we plain old stupid. And when you are facing things, here's the problem. I can't really pray your punishment away when it's born out of your own stupidity.
Amen.
I can't pray stuff off of you. Pastor, would you pray for me? They seen a spot on my lung. The doctor said, he told me 7 years ago I needed to stop smoking, but you know, I just need God to comfort you. I'm going to pray for you, but I got to ask you one question. Have you quit smoking yet? Well, no, you know, I, my nerves. I understand your nerves, but there's a spot on your lung. This is not the time to be stupid. Surrender, because it costs you. And some people, even when they know it costs them, they keep doing the same thing. They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and then expecting different results. Sometimes you got to wake up and you just got to stop being stupid. And here's the thing, it's not to make anybody feel bad. We've all been stuck on stupid. All of us have been. But this is the season for some of us to realize I'm getting off of the stupid train. All right. If the last 12 of your boyfriends, all of them have beat you, stop telling me, I just want a rough neck in my life. You've had enough rough necks in your life, and that's why you've had a rough life. Learn the writing on the wall and make some adjustments, make some changes. Do something different. I don't want me a church girl. They're too boring. I want a lady of the night. Well, you need to stop looking for a lady of the night. If you want to be a church man, you're going to have to make some adjustments. It's time for us to stop being stupid and just surrender. And realize, okay, you know what? I really make a mess of my life. Sister Trisha, if it's left up to me, I'm actually going to make a mess of my life. So guess what I should probably do? I should probably just listen to the Lord. Now, I was just talking about my nieces and young people. Let me bring it to young people. Some of y'all young people, all of y'all 21 and younger, you need to listen to us older people, because we can keep you out of a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Let me add this. Y'all not that good of liars that y'all think y'all. The lies that you forming up, we've already heard it and tried it ourselves. So it's better to just straighten up and fly right, because the longer you stay stupid, the more you delay your own blessings and growth. Let me talk to my nieces again. You guys look at me and you see me where I am, but ask your mama how I used to be. And I am who I am because I stopped being stupid and surrendered to God. And he's made me much better than I ever looked before. Ask my mama, some of y'all. I'm talking to the rest of y'all. Ask my mama who I used to be, how I would be bringing home bad grades. But right now, I'm in college with a 4.0 because I stopped being stuck on stupid. Yeah. At some point, I realized, and we're going to get to it just a little later. Sometimes the reason why you get stuck on stupid is because you have a bad view of yourself.
That's right.
And as long as you look at yourself bad, you never grow to where you're supposed to be. And it's the devil that wants you to be stubborn and stupid. But when God is asking you for surrender, he's really trying to elevate you.
Yeah.
He's really trying to take you to a higher place. But you got to stop fighting and allow God to work it his way.
Amen.
All right, let's look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 12:1.
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid.
I can't stand when folks are always telling me what to do. Sometimes you need to be told what to do. Sometimes you need to be corrected. Every criticism is not a bad criticism. Some people don't understand that there's constructive criticism. Everybody who constructively criticizes you is not a hater. Oh, I got so many haters. Haters here, haters there. Everybody's not hating you. You're not that important to be hated. You ain't sold no records. You ain't made no movies. Ain't nobody hating you. People are trying to help you, but you would rather choose stupidity.
Yes.
Once again, not y'all. We're talking about them other folk. Let's look at the next verse. Jeremiah 4:22.
For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise in doing evil, but how to do good, they know not.
The only thing they're smart in is doing the wrong thing. Don't let that be said of you, that the only time you think is when you're trying to do something wrong. The only time you make a make a detailed choice is when you're trying to sneak and you're trying to scheme. Stop all of that, because all that does is it shows you how stupid you are. And here's what other people know. Sometimes people don't know it when they're stuck in it. Other people don't trust you. When they see you coming, they're ready to walk away. Because they know, here you come with some schemes. There was this girl, and she was a sweet girl, but she got fired from our job, and she got mad and she got fired. But baby, your same grandpa died 6 times. When my grandpa died, I need some time off. My grandpa died, I need some time off. All right, that's 2 grandpas. When my grandpa died, how many grandpas do you have? I mean, You're not even thinking straight. If your regular workers know you're lying, management knows you're lying. And then when they walk you up and fire you, you want to get mad and you want to go crazy. You set yourself up, because all you had to do was think how silly you sound. And some people, when they're stuck on sneaking and scheming and all of that, they don't realize how stupid they actually sound.
Amen.
And sometimes you look at them, you're just like, I just wish you would just wake up and do the right thing. Sometimes it's easier to do the right thing than it is to scheme to do the wrong thing. So just surrender. Oh, this is where you get to say it's tight,
but it's right.
Jeremiah 10:21.
For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered.
I'm talking about the people in the pews, but the scripture says the shepherd. So this goes all the way from the pulpit to the parking lot. The problem with some of the churches is not the people in the church, it's the shepherds are stupid. They won't follow God. They want to preach what makes people think that they're great instead of giving what thus says the Lord. I've told you all the time, I'm really not the pastor here. I'm really the assistant pastor. The Holy Spirit is the real pastor. Yeah. I've got to fall in line under him. I've got to yield to him, because here's the thing that I realize. I'm too stupid to know what to do with y'all. Do you realize that I know y'all, but I don't really know y'all? I don't know every detail you got. If you don't tell me, I don't know what's going on in your body.
Amen.
If you don't tell me, I don't know what's going on in your life. I can't talk to every single person. I've talked to some, and I know what some is going on, but some of y'all don't even want to bother me with your stuff. So how am I ever going to give you what you need if I don't hook up with God?
Amen.
And there are ministers that all they care about is their shiny suit and how they can get the folk to shout, but people are not being changed, they're not being delivered, they're not being touched, they don't grow, because the shepherds are stupid. And guess what? I've told you before and I'll tell you again, you don't belong in no stupid church with no stupid leadership.
Amen.
You need somebody who will pray and labor. Sometimes when y'all tell me, you preach just what I needed to hear, I'm like, thank God. I don't know. Sometimes I'm up late at night and God hadn't given me nothing. There's times that God didn't give me nothing until Sunday morning, but I made up in my mind, I'm not just going to come up here and just pick up stuff to say. I want to hear what thus saith the Lord, whether I like it or not. It's not easy to preach a message on surrender. I want one of them happy-go-lucky messages, but I got to do what God tells me to do. I was looking just the other day, and someone said, I bet you somebody in church is going to preach about Shedeur Sanders. Those of you know who Deion Sanders' son that slipped into draft, because they're so used to us taking events and just getting up in the pulpit and talking about it. I'm not going to talk about anything God don't tell me to talk about. Just to be talking. I'm just up here to talk. Listen, we can waste our time somewhere else. We can be going grilling, eating hot dogs and hamburgers. If you come in here to hear the word of God, you ought to get a word from God. You don't need no stupid preacher preaching no stupid stuff. And guess what? Some of the most stupid things I ever heard was from a man or a woman with a microphone. All right, let me say this. I won't say who said it. But I heard it in this church. We weren't in this building, but I heard it in this church. It said, I'll never go to a therapist, because the word therapist, when you break him down, is the rapist. And I'm not going to have nobody raping my mind. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. And it was said right from a preacher from the podium. Now, it happened to be a actually a good preacher, but sometimes preachers get it wrong and say stuff out of their flesh. That's why when I pray, I say, God, let it be all of you and less of me. Because I don't want some of me, too much of me to get in it. Because when too much of me gets in it, I start saying stupid stuff. And so here's the thing. But when you are, when the people in the pews are surrendered to God, they know how, and Mother Woods used to tell us this all the time, eat the meat and spit out the bones.
Yes.
Don't take everything when you're surrendered. All right, let's move on. Number three. Here's the last one. When I'm struggling. Now, this is what I want to share with us. Most of us, because we're here, we're not really stubborn and we're not really stupid. Because stubborn and stupid people, they don't make time for church. So that's not most of your case. Most of us, we struggle to surrender when we're struggling. And here's the reason why. Because we're human, sometimes we get so bothered by our own failures that we don't not surrender to God because we don't believe he's holy. We're almost tired of God forgiving us. God, I'm quitting. I'm quitting church. Not because the church ain't good. Not because the church mothers aren't good. Not because the word ain't good. Not because you're not good, God. But I'm just such a mess. And every time I try to do right, I mess up. And then I come to you and you gotta forgive me. I quit. I've seen people walk away not because they didn't want to surrender. They just look at themselves and say, I can't. I'm too much of a mess up and I'm struggling. I want to help those people who think they're too much of a mess up. Because like I said earlier, I said I would come back to it. Many times the problem with us and how we end up sometimes stubborn and stupid is because we really don't know what we have. All right, so let's give us another story. Put this up. This is called the painting story. So we had the pants story, the punishment story, and now the painting story. The painting story is, I don't know if it's fictional or it's true, and so I won't tell it as if it's true, but there was a poor lady who happened to be living in a one-bedroom shack. And the poor lady ends up dying, didn't have much all her life. All she had was this raggedy painting on the wall, so she thought. When they came to get her remains and bury her body, somebody was like, ain't that a Van Gogh on the wall? And somebody said, a Van Gogh, a Van who? No, a Van Gogh. They looked it up, and she had one of the most priceless paintings on the wall, worth millions of dollars. She died in poverty, but had access to millions right next to her, but she didn't know it. So here's the point. Sometimes we're struggling, but we don't really know what we got. Yes. And so we don't surrender to God because we feel like God can't use a mess like me. So I might as well just turn over to this addiction. I might as well give over to this. I might as well just stop coming to church. I don't even want to see them folk in church because they praying for me and they asking me how I'm doing, and I don't want to lie to them no more and tell them I'm still messing up. I'm still cutting up. I'm struggling. But you don't really know what you got. And I'm trying to let you know, don't you let a struggle stop you from surrendering to God. Because here's the thing, God knows every struggle. He knows every detail. He knows every mess up. He knows every hang up. That's why we confess our deliverance consistently, because we are not delivered yet. But if we trust God, he will and he can and he wants to deliver us. And that's why my daddy would always tell people, if you got the struggle, come to church struggling. If you got to drink, come to church drunk if you have to, because this is the best place for you, because he knows your weakness. He meets you at the point of your need. Don't allow your struggle to hinder you from surrendering.
Amen. Amen.
Surrender even the more. I know I'm messed up, but I'm coming back to you, God.
Yes.
I don't care if I cross over to heaven with this addiction. I'm not letting go. I'm like Jacob. I won't let go till you bless me, till you change me, till you turn me around. I'm coming this way. I'm not giving up. Some people, they talk to me and it's like, Pastor, pray for me. I just can't make it. But they won't be faithful to the house of God. They feel like they're too less than. It's like the woman with the Van Gogh painting on the wall. You are more than what you ever gave yourself credit for.
Hallelujah.
And here's the point that I'm making. Let's put it up. This is what causes people to not surrender, because at the end of the day, they feel this. I'm not worth it. But all you got to do is take three letters out and it changes everything. If you take N-O-T out, it now reads, I'm worth it. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and gave your life. You mean you got on the cross for me before I was ever born. Don't you let a devil tell me that I'm not worth it. I got to be worth it because he died for me. And the Bible says for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There was joy at the cross, and the joy is me and the joy is you. So I'm going to surrender because I'm worth it.
Yes.
You're worth it. Look at Romans 7:15, let me take it to you to scripture. Romans 7:15 says what?
I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do.
Oh, see, Pastor, see, it's different. You're different from me. Oh, well, let's take it to one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. Apostle Paul said this. Listen, I'm a mess too. What I want to do, I don't do. But what I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And if you've ever been addicted to something, if you've ever been caught into something, if you ever made some stubborn, stupid choices, you know sometimes the things that I'm doing is stuff that I don't even want to do. And I feel like I'm not worth it. But the truth of the matter is, I'm worth it. Yeah. Read.
For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing.
Okay, keep reading.
So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me.
Oh, I find out that it's not all just me. It's evil is with me. So let's just be honest. Yeah, we've made some bad choices, but if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, we never would have made the bad choices. It's not our fault that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. All of this isn't our fault. This evil is present with me. And I say it all the time. You cannot spell the word live without actually having the same letters for evil. Not only that, you actually have the same letters for vile. Vile, evil, and live all have the same letters. Mm-hmm. So just because you're trying to live, evil is always present with you. So stop beating yourself up over the head and just realize sometimes life is just life and you're not the perfect person and you are sometimes going to blow it, and that's all the reason why you need to surrender to God. Let me talk to you men who are visual creatures. You see stuff. And not actually, we talk about men, but it's men and women. Listen, bodies are going to look good. And we live in the Instagram era where everybody is wearing everything. And when you see something that looks good, oh my God, I'm not saved. Yeah, you saved. You just dealing with a little lust. You just human. All you got to do is tell God about it. Stop hiding it from God and surrender to God and say, God, help me. Help me make the right decision. Help me say the right things. Well, Pastor, sometimes when I'm away from the church, my mouth is like a sailor. You ain't the only one. Just tell God, help me, bless my tongue, touch my tongue, deliver. Stop trying to hide it. Stop trying to lie about it and just surrender to God. I'm a wretch undone, but God, if you would touch me and bless me, I'll be everything you called me to be. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to yet surrender even when I'm struggling. All right, so let's look at what verse 22 says.
For in my inner being, I delight in God's law.
That's when I realize I am a tripart being. I am spirit, soul, and body. My body or my flesh, it'll never be saved. but my spirit is saved, and there's a wrestle over my soul. So on the inside, I still want to do right. That's why I get up and come to church on a Sunday morning when other people are laying in the bed. I got the right stuff down on the inside. And if I just give God a chance, he'll bring me to the place that I need to be. Let's keep on going. Verse 23.
But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me.
When you were young and you was watching Saturday morning cartoons, you would see a devil on one shoulder and an angel on another shoulder. And there's a battle. And sometimes you listen to the wrong thing on the shoulder. But God understands and God knows. So keep surrendering even still. Even when you're struggling, all right? Verse 24, what did Paul say there?
What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?
Well, he don't start concluding like I thought he would conclude. He ends up saying, I'm a mess. Not I'm anointed. I'm the head. And no, he said, I'm a mess. Guess what? It's okay to sometimes say, I'm a mess. All right, but then look what he says after that, though. Verse 25.
Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I'm a mess. But God. I'm crazy, but God. I'm a little trifling, but God. I'm struggling, but God. That's why I thank God the way I thank God, because he takes my zero and turns it into a hero. Yes, I'm a wretched man, but God stepped in my life and he washed me up. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it'll never lose its power. Here's the truth of the matter. If you were perfect, God would never get the glory. What makes God get the glory is that we are imperfect people, that he's touching and he's making something out of our life. So thanks be to God. All right, read.
Therefore,
Let's go. We didn't finish that verse. Let's go back. Yeah. So then, start there.
Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin.
Okay, I understand what's going on. I understand why I'm struggling. Because in my mind, I want to do right. But my body don't want to do right. And my body's never going to want to do right. So guess what? If I'm struggling, I'm human. So guess what? I'm going to surrender to God even when I'm struggling. That's actually the best time to surrender to God, is when I want to cut up. Surrender to God some more. And then this is what the scripture says, and this is what makes the devil mad. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what Jesus says and what God says, while you're trying to get right, I'm not going to condemn you for trying to get right and sometimes getting it wrong. I just want you to come to me and surrender anyhow. So guess what? I'm surrendering. I say it all the time. When some folks see you with your hands lifted up, they won't talk about you. Well, you ain't all that. I know I ain't all that. I'm not lifting my hands because I'm all that. I'm lifting my hands because he's all that. And because he's all that, I know my worth. I know I got a Van Gogh on the wall, and I know that when I take my last breath, I cross from death unto life, and heaven belongs to me, not because I'm a saint on the earth. Heaven belongs to me because of what was done on the cross. So you can't stop me from praising the Lord. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So I'm going to praise the Lord. All right, so let me add these two things to you as we begin to transition on out of here. Go ahead and put it up. Number one, this is what you got to do. You got to separate your who from your do. What you do is not always who you are.
Amen.
I'm a liar. No, you're not. Yes, you lie, but you're not a liar. You're a child of God. And so you got to separate your who from your do. There is therefore now no condemnation. I'm getting up out the ground. Yes, I drank, but I'm not a drunkard. Yes, I cussed, but I'm not a cusser. Yes, I messed up, but I'm not a luster. I'm what God says I am. That's why it's important for you to declare the I am that I am. Declare what the word says. Separate your who from your do. And here's the reason why. Go ahead and put the next one up. Here's the reason why. Because you are a human being, not a human doing. In other words, what you do doesn't have to define who you are. If you stay surrendered, what you do is just a lesson to make you a better person. I'm a human being, not a human doing. And as I focus on being a human being and God being in me and me in God, guess what? I'm going to start doing better things. My do is going to line up to who I am. So I focus on who I am so that my doing and my being now will line up. And all it takes is just a mindset of surrender. All right, so here's the conclusion. And this is in the conclusion. We're going to ask you one question or give you, it's not a question. Actually, we're going to give you one thing to take with you, how to surrender. So now that you know it, stubbornness stops you from surrendering, stupidness stops you from surrendering, and sometimes people allow struggling to stop you from surrendering. None of y'all want to be in that place. So here's the one thing. How do I surrender then, Pastor Andre? So I'm going to go to one of my favorite translations of this particular passage. I love the way it's translated. It's the Message Bible translating Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it lays out exactly how we are going to surrender and be the best that we can possibly be. Romans 12, 1 and 2 through the Message Bible. Let's just go ahead and read it because it's self-explanatory.
So here's what I want you to do. God helping you.
Hold on. Who helping you?
God.
There you go. All right.
Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life.
Next.
And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him.
I'm just an offering to you, God. Come on, keep going.
Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking.
Stop trying to fit in with the world. Read.
Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it.
This, you're actually going to get better at this. Go ahead.
Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you.
Now, this the King James says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, which is all this, what it's talking about. But when you look at it, it says, actually, God can do the work. All you got to do is surrender. All you got to do is say, God, I know I'm not everything I need to be, but God, with you and me, we're going to get there. So I'm coming to you, God. I'm coming to church. I'm coming to prayer. I'm reading my Bible. I'm turning on worship music. I'm going to stop lying on folk. I'm going to stop talking about folk. I ain't got time to worry about other folk. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, and I'm going to be everything God called me to be. I declare it in Jesus. That's all it takes is a mindset to surrender. Now, we're done. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close with this confession. I like to do the confession to solidify it in our hearts and minds. I'm going to read it, and then we'll do it together. It says, Father, I thank you for calling me to surrender, because I know that surrender can lead to my survival. So I won't be stubborn or stupid, and even when I'm struggling, I will choose to stay surrendered to you. Amen. Let's do it together. Father, I thank you for calling me to surrender, because I know that surrender can lead to my survival. So I won't be stubborn or stupid. And even when I'm struggling, I will choose to stay surrendered to you. Amen. Come on, put your hands together this morning. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for giving me this word for your people, God. I thank you that many of them are not in the stubborn mode or the stupid mode. They just are struggling. But you're letting them know that there's no condemnation for their struggle. And if they just have a mindset to stay surrendered to you, you're going to turn their test into a testimony. Turn their mess into a message. And you're going to bless them in such a way that they won't even look like what they've been through. And I thank you for it. But for the few of us who are struggling with being stubborn or stupid, God, we apologize and we repent and we surrender ourselves to you for you to get the glory in our lives and for you to have your way. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week.